You are listening to an American Free Press podcast. Joining me on the line is Medea Benjamin, the co-founder of Code Pink and the main organizer of a new enterprise called Move Over APAC. Medea, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Medea, explain to our listeners first, what is Code Pink?
Code Pink is a peace group that formed right before the U.S. invaded Iraq, so it's 8 years ago now, with the idea of mobilizing and organizing to stop a war we thought would be a catastrophe. Unfortunately, we've been right, and unfortunately, we weren't able to stop the war, but we have been trying ever since to get our troops home from Iraq, Afghanistan, and to stop the drone attacks in Pakistan. And now we're also against the U.S. military involvement in Libya.
Okay. And, of course, listeners can access that website at codepink.org. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And our purpose is to stop these wars because we don't think that this is the right way to bring peace and to reinvest those funds into the United States, which is suffering from a terrible financial crisis. We feel we need these dollars here at home.
That would probably make sense. Why do you think it is that it seems like there are not very many people interested in peace? Is that an accurate statement, you think?
Yeah, I think people just don't pay much attention to the fact that we're still in these wars in Afghanistan. It's going on 10 years now, and people are very war weary. And unlike Vietnam, where there was a draft so that every family was affected by the war, this time it's a volunteer army, and so few of the families have somebody who is serving overseas. So it's a very different situation. And I think when you look at the polls, you recognize that the majority of people, both Democrats and Republicans and independents, don't think we should still be in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but they don't go out to protest, they don't put any pressure on their congresspeople, and so as a result, the wars drag on.
Is it frustrating for you being a peace activist?
It's very frustrating. Under the Bush administration, we were frustrated because we would get large numbers of people out into the street and the media wouldn't cover the rallies that we organized. Now it's frustrating because we have public opinion on our side, but people won't even come out to the rallies.
Right. And what about the mainstream media? Are they giving you any coverage at all?
No, we find that, for example, last month there was a Tea Party protest that I went to because we tried to reach all kinds of people, and that was maybe 150, 200 people, and it was covered by all the mainstream media. And yet, the week before that, we had had hundreds and hundreds of people, I would say maybe a couple of thousand people out for an anniversary of the war in Iraq, and there were about 135 people, mostly veterans, who got arrested in front of the White House, and that barely got any mention in the media.
Gotta love them, huh?
Well, you don't gotta, do you?
No, you don't gotta. I was gotta just facetious.
And of course, create other media like this.
Right. Be the media, right?
That's right.
Do you think there's some danger in being the media, though, for an average person being the media?
I think that there's a lot of media that are created by folks who don't really care a lot about the accuracy of what they put out. So you can't trust a lot of the blogs and some of the independent media. But hey, there's a lot of the mainstream media that you can't trust either. So people have to do their own research. They have to be savvy about what they read, what they see, and form their own opinions.
Absolutely. How long have you been a peace activist?
I grew up during the Vietnam War years, and that was the way that I first got turned on to these issues. In that case, it was my older sister, only 2 years older, but her generation, her friends, her boyfriends were being sent off to Vietnam. I started looking into it and realized that I thought that was a crazy thing to be doing and got involved in my high school. And ever since then, have been devoted to trying to stop wars and stop violence and find other ways to interact with each other.
Now, I'm looking at Wikipedia, and I've said it before in several interviews that it's very useful, Wikipedia, but it can have information that's incorrect, some serious, some not so serious. Have you seen your entry in Wikipedia at all?
I have.
Is it pretty accurate?
It's not so much that it's inaccurate, it doesn't really tell the real story about what I've been involved in over all of these years and so many great issues and so many good victories of doing social justice work. So I think it picks out some of the controversial things and highlights those.
Now, also, you're involved in an organization called Global Exchange. What's that all about?
Global Exchange is an organization I helped to found 20 years ago, and the purpose was to get ordinary citizens involved in global issues. Some of the work that we're most known for is bringing a whole concept of fair trade to the U.S. consumer. Now you go in a store and you can find fair trade coffee, fair trade tea, now fair trade chocolate, and this is guaranteeing to the consumers that the producers have paid a fair price. We also take people on what we call reality tours all over the world to look at what's really happening, learn from good examples of things that people are doing to clean up their environment, start urban gardens, all kinds of exciting things happening around the world that we want to introduce people from this country to.
Mm-hmm. Now, that would be globalexchange.org, right?
Yes, that's globalexchange.org. And one of the other things we do is we take people to countries where the U.S. government oftentimes does not have a very good relationship, so practicing the idea of citizen diplomacy. So we're one of the few groups that goes to places such as Iran or North Korea, Cuba. Until it got too dangerous, we were taking people to Iraq. We still go to Afghanistan and places that aren't dangerous as well. But we try to take people off the beaten path and to practice the kind of citizen diplomacy we'd like to see our government doing.
Mm-hmm. It says here that you spent 4 years in Cuba. Is that right?
Yes, I did. I actually was married to a Cuban, and we went to live there for 4 years until I was deported from the country for speaking out about things that I didn't like.
Mm. I guess deportation is better than the other options, right?
Yes, I actually am allowed to go back there now, but it took about 5 years until I was able to do that.
And what was that like in a nutshell, just briefly, Cuba? I mean, we hear so much about it through the mainstream media. What was it like?
Well, there's a real community feel, neighbors, everybody having to help each other. So there's a sense of extended family. I had my first daughter in Cuba, and I would never worry about where she was. She would be in some neighbor's house. I knew she'd be well fed, taken care of, play with the other kids in the neighborhood. And that was a very lovely part about the life there. People also love to sing. They love to dance. They've got great music. So there's some very positive things about Cuban life and Cuban culture. On the other hand, it is a government that doesn't allow for people to have complete freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, and there's not a lot of opportunities for people to have their own businesses. So there are a lot of limitations as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for explaining that. I've always been interested in that. Let's get on to Move Over APAC. For our listeners, please explain, what is APAC? And that's spelled A-I-P-A-C.
Yes, APAC stands for the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. It's an organization that is little known in the United States, yet is extremely powerful, especially when it comes to influence over U.S. foreign affairs, and particularly around the Middle East. This is an organization that has a lot of money, a lot of influence among Congress members. It really helps to write the legislation, and it does so always in favor of Israel to the detriment of an even-handed policy that would promote real peace in the Middle East.
How long have they been around?
Well, they've been around now for decades. They were under a different incarnation until they were deemed to be representing the Israeli government and told they had to register as a foreign agent. Many of us feel that they still represent a foreign government, i.e. Israel, and should be registered as a foreign agent, but now they are considered a charity. And one of their main goals is to guarantee that Israel continues to get U.S. taxpayers taxpayer money to the tune of $3 billion a year. Many of us are now starting to question this, particularly in light of the financial crisis here in the United States. We're asking people why they think Israel, a rich country, should get U.S. taxpayer dollars when there are so many needs here at home. And then there's the other issue of where do these taxpayer dollars go? And our contention is that it goes to the Israeli military that is committing illegal acts, and it's going to violate international law. For example, Israel continues against international law to build illegal settlements. Israel's military continues to violate international law. For example, Israel continues to build settlements in the West Bank, which is illegal. They continue to place a siege on Gaza, where 1.5 million people are in what's considered an open-air prison. And it continues to, on a daily basis, commit abuses against the Palestinians. And I don't know about you, Dave, but I don't think my tax dollars should be going to do that.
I absolutely agree with that. It doesn't seem to make sense when there's so many people here who are even on food stamps. It doesn't make any sense at all, but they're such a powerful, organized entity, it just seems almost an insurmountable task.
Well, that's why we've taken on this goal of organizing a gathering called Move Over AIPAC, which will be happening at the same time that AIPAC is having their yearly policy conference. And we think it's important to bring people together to learn about AIPAC, why it's so powerful, how it functions, in order to loosen the stranglehold that AIPAC has on our foreign policy. So we're excited about this gathering and all the experts that are coming to inform us. And then we will be organizing protests outside of the convention center where AIPAC will be meeting.
Where are they meeting?
They're meeting at the convention center in Washington, D.C., and the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, will be speaking to the group, as well as the head of our Congress. And it shows this incredibly tight relationship between Israel and the United States, because the very rare occasion a head of state speaks before a joint session of U.S. Congress is going to be happening with Netanyahu. So you see the U.S. Congress people going to the AIPAC convention, Netanyahu speaking at the AIPAC convention, and then turn right around and see Netanyahu speaking before the U.S. Congress. So it's this circle of influence that AIPAC has, and that is something that we're trying to break.
And for our listeners, the website is moveoverapac.org, and that's, of course, moveoveraipac.org. Of course, all lowercase, no spaces. You have some notable people coming to the conference. I was looking online. Walton Mearsheimer will be there, isn't that right?
Yes, and for your listeners, these are two stellar academics from Harvard and University of Chicago that have written the seminal book called The Israel Lobby, which came out in 2007 and caused a firestorm of controversy because they meticulously documented how AIPAC has created such a strong lobby that it influences policies in the interest of Israel and oftentimes against the national interests of the United States. So they are our keynote speakers, and we're very excited to get a chance to hear from them.
I've interviewed Phil Giraldi from the Council for the National Interest and Allison Weir from If Americans Knew. Will they be there also?
Yes, they have been helping to organize, as have over 100 organizations that have come together for this. So it's great that it's really a collective effort. And those organizations range from Jewish groups like Jewish Voice for Peace to Palestinian groups like U.S. Palestinian Community Network, a coalition of groups called U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation. So it's quite a diverse array of organizations and individuals that have come together for this.
I've noticed over the past year or so that there's a lot of momentum building up. We might see soon, I think, some real change when it comes to the way that the United States government, the U.S. politicians, and it's almost unanimous, they have that solid of a lock on Congress, but it seems like something's going to happen. It seems like something is in the air, that they're not going to get away with what they have been getting away with for all these decades. Am I accurate in that, you think?
Well, I think there's one big factor there, and that is what's called the Arab Spring, and the fact that the Middle East is in a time of tremendous change with upsurge in people's movements, including in Palestine, where the Palestinians are demanding that their own government start representing them, forcing the two factions of Fatah and Hamas to come together, something the Israeli government is terrified of. Changes in the air, and the U.S. can't continue to keep its head in the sand and follow a policy that says Israel no matter what. It has to be much more attuned to the Arab street. And I think this means that the change is going to be forced onto us and that AIPAC is going to lose a lot of its power as a result.
It's not fun messing around with AIPAC or Jewish power. Many people have had bad experiences with it, including death threats, bombs, attempted assassinations. It said on Wikipedia that you're Jewish, is that right?
Yes, I'm Jewish.
What type of reaction are you getting from the Jewish groups? Do they consider you, I guess they can't say anti-Semitic, but can they say you're a self-hating Jew? What do they say to you, if anything?
Oh, they always say self-hating Jew or silly things, come up with all kinds of names. I've become used to this kind of thing. You know, if you're in a peace movement, I've been labeled different things over the years. It used to be communist and now terrorist. And we have talked with Hamas. And so because you talk with someone they consider terrorist, then you're a terrorist. It goes on and on. But you have to have thick skin in this work and you have to be really committed and convinced that the ways that we are dealing with conflict right now have to be changed, and that we are out of conscience doing this work to have a government that is even-handed, that doesn't use force as its first reaction to problems, and that doesn't support things like the Israeli government that has such a militaristic bent to it. And the way that has been working in the world, not only treating Palestinians, but we have the example of the invasion of Lebanon in 2006, where over 1,000 civilians were killed, that we can't go on supporting that kind of thing.
Tell our listeners about how they can get involved in this conference.
So you can come and join us in the conference. It's called Move Over AIPAC. Go to the website and register. It's the most inexpensive conference you'll ever be able to go to. It's a sliding scale from $20 to $100, and that will give you access to about 12 incredible workshops and panels and plenary discussions, and then the following day, some very creative protests, including the building of a replica of the kind of wall that's being built throughout the West Bank. We will have evening events that are celebrating some of our heroic peacekeepers, like 86-year-old Hedy Epstein, a Holocaust survivor that's now working for peace in the Middle East, to Amr Shurab, a young man in Gaza whose two brothers, he watched them bleed to death during the Israeli invasion of Gaza, and now he has become an outspoken person for peace. So there'll be lots of wonderful people to meet and things to do, and we encourage your listeners to log on to moveoverapac.org and come join us. Washington, D.C., May 21st to 24th.
That's terrific. Looking forward to it. And I want to thank you so much for all the time you took out explaining all this to the listeners. I'll see you there.
Thanks for having me on. Great. Take care.